long and prosper.
Ultimate power in the universe.
The Speaky Truth, Geeky Pleasures Radio Show. Speaky Truth, Geeky Pleasures Radio Show. Don't go to work, stay home from school. Turn up the radio, it's time to choose. Superheroes, the latest on Star Trek, where do you go?
The Geeky Pleasures Show.
Video games, music, pirates, what do you do?
Tune in to choose.
So wake the neighbors, break their windows, grab them all to the Geeky Pleasures Radio Show.
My name is Optimus Prime.
There's one set for stop.
Who's talking about the latest gadgets, the queen of geek,
the Geeky Pleasures Show.
It's getting closer, the time is here for the
Geeky Pleasures Radio Show.
Grab a popcorn, take a seat, it's Drew Charette.
On the road, 24/7.
Leave any bigotry in your quarters, there's no room for it on the bridge.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Geeky Pleasures Radio Show. Tonight, I have Black Tea Studios with me, but before I introduce them and we begin our discussion about a new game that they're hoping to fund on Kickstarter, a little bit of business. First, the views and opinions expressed tonight during tonight's Geeky Pleasures Radio Shows are the views and opinions of myself, Jewel Sherrod, and of my guests from Black Tea Studios. They do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Look 24/7, its parent company, Wormland Productions, or any of its affiliates or sponsors. Also, I'm going to try not to drop any profanity because the game that we're trying to promote is family-oriented, so I'm going to try and make it clean, but you never know. I may drop some profanity here and there, so listener discretion is advised. Thank you very much, Valencia and Joseph, for being with me this evening.
Thank you for having us.
It's my pleasure. First, let the listeners know, like, what is Black Tea Studios? When was it founded? What do you do?
Okay. It was founded 3 years ago now. We create all kinds of this cool stuff we come up with. It may be a game, or maybe some type of creative interactive story. But the whole idea is just to have it as a place where we can put out our ideas and creative ideas we come up with. Just so happen to be games at the moment.
And how many games have you published?
We have one published, which is called Shadow Days. That was a Kickstarter project. So this is our second game that we're working on right now.
And the name of the game is?
The game is Scrapyard Warriors.
Okay, now I'm curious to know, before we get into the details about what Scrapyard Warriors is and how you play it and the demographic and everything, how did you come up with this idea?
Well, we have been participating in a science camp for quite a few years now, a summer science camp, and part of it was based on the show Junkyard Wars. For the UK fans out there, it's a Scrap Heap Challenge. And the whole idea was to have a junkyard, and everybody goes in, and you know, you have teams, and they go and search for different pieces in the junkyard to create different types of machines. And they have a time limit and so on. So we came up with some similar ideas to use with our children in our summer camp. And it's fantastic. The kids love it. It's a huge hit. So that's where the idea came from. We thought, okay, well, how about, you know, turn this into a card game. You know, the same kind of energy.
And concept.
Right, and concept. And just turning it into something that families could play around the table.
So let's talk about the card game. First, how many cards are in a deck?
Right now, there are 155 cards.
And let's go over the cards just a bit. I have the Kickstarter page open just to refresh my memory, but there's different sorts of, there's three different types of cards?
Yeah, they're actually two different types. So one type would be your regular objects. Now within those objects, you do have some that are power sources, mm-hmm. so they, like generators and things like that. The majority of the cards are going to be things that you would expect to find in a junkyard, just metal pieces and rods and 2x4s and plywood and sheet metal. And then we have the other main type of card, which is a bonus card. And these are items that you don't use to put together a machine you're working on, but they do give you extra points. So it's just like going through a scrapyard and finding something really cool in there that you know you're not going to use, but, you know, maybe it's like a little bobblehead that you put in your car or something like that.
So when you how many, okay, let's start at the very, very beginning. When you get the cards, how many are dealt out? Does it depend on how many people are playing the game, or is it just a set amount of cards?
It does depend on actually the mode that you're playing, because we do have several modes. Generally you can do about seven cards, and then go from there. So each person starts the same amount, and then each round you get to go and dip back in the scrapyard and take out whatever you find.
Mm-hmm. So let's start off with the modes then. We have easy mode, and that's seven cards per person from the scrap pile. Mm-hmm. What happens, is it first when you receive the cards, is there a time limit for people to use their brains and figure out what they can build with those pieces?
Initially there is not. What you do, with easy mode, each person goes in and it's kind of like, the whole idea behind Uno. Mm-hmm. Each person is building their machine, and then once someone has a complete machine, they yell ready.
Okay.
And when they yell ready, not like I'm yelling, but more like ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when the blood pressure goes up, and everybody starts to sweat because the timer begins, and you have 60 seconds to finish building your machine.
Okay. And so once it's built, you present the cards and you have to tell the rest of the people at the table what it is you've built, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And so if you've used all your cards, then you add up those points. And if you have any cards left over, then do the points on those cards get subtracted from the total of your build?
Am I understanding? No, you just can't. Yeah. Okay. No, you can't, you just can't use those, apply those to your, to your total. So okay. They're not deducted, but you can use them. So they wouldn't count.
Okay. So that's the easy mode. What about standard mode?
Okay, so in standard mode, the main difference is that you really don't have the option of using whatever items you want that would normally require a power source. In easy mode, you can, you know, just use, let's say you have a car motor that requires some electricity to run. You can use that anyway. In standard mode, you must have a power source. So there's a few different power sources included. There's solar panels. There's batteries, large batteries, small batteries, hand power generators. There's even a mini wind turbine in there to use. So that's the main difference, that you are required to use those power sources.
Okay, and now that I'm actually looking at the page again, so it's in the standard mode that if you don't have a power source that you lose points?
That's right.
Okay. And crazy mode.
Okay. In crazy mode, you're grabbing 10 cards. And the timer starts. Everybody has to start, building. And when the time runs out, you know, everybody adds up their points. So the difference here is that you start right out of the gate with a time limit.
Okay. Now, when it says grab 10 cards, so you're not dealing them out, you're just, like, randomly picking cards from a pile?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like if you were to you know, be in a scrapyard with your friends and someone yells go, and you just run out there and you're just grabbing, you know.
Anything and everything.
Anything and everything, yeah.
So would the cards be face up then?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because we've envisioned them being placed face down, so you're kind of just getting lucky with certain pieces. But through playtesting, a lot of other people have played, and they do it both ways. Okay. Some just have them all face up, and they do a free fall. So it can get kind of wild, you can imagine, playing that way. But the way we recommend is to have them face down.
Okay. And also I'm looking on the website and it says there's no rounds and there's no trading. So is there trading and rounds in easy and standard mode, or is it in other modes that you have rounds and you can trade cards?
Yes. In easy and standard, there are rounds. So every round you can, dip back into the, pile. Mm-hmm. And you can choose two, items from the pile. Or you can choose to trade with one of the other players in the game. There may be something that you know, you may see that they have a tire maybe that you need, mm-hmm. And maybe you have three and you just need that one more tire. So you know, there's some begging that may go on, and coercion, possibly threats to get the piece that you need.
How many rounds do you play altogether in easy and standard? Is it up to the person, or is there like a set round limit, but it's flexible if you wanted it to be?
You play as many rounds as you can until someone yells ready. So, okay. Kind of like Uno, but in reverse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, co-op mode.
Okay, now this is really fun. With co-op, you just pick one player out of the group to draw seven cards from the pile, and the timer starts, and you're working together with this one. So everyone's trying to figure out how to build one machine using all the cards that you have, all seven cards.
Okay.
And if you're successful, then you go ahead and, you know, get rid of those cards, and then you draw from the pile again. But this time you draw nine. So you continue with this pattern, and hopefully you can build a machine every round. And when you get to 21, you become scrapyard warriors. So it is a challenge, but it's great because, you know, you're working with, you know, a team.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to use, you know, that good old fashioned teamwork, to figure out how to best use the cards.
Sandbox mode.
Okay, now sandbox mode is just simply being creative. I mean, this whole game is about creativity,
mm-hmm.
but sandbox mode is simply about sitting down and just going through like you're playing Legos and just coming up with whatever you can. The kids really love it. It's one of the, I think, more popular modes, just because, they're just building. And, we found that, you know, again, just like Legos or any other type of a building block system, they like to just see what they can come up with.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to packaging, and how is it going to be packaged? Is it just going to be in a box with cards? And of course the instructions. But is there anything else in the packaging that you think is kind of neat?
Well, it will be a tiny package. Mm-hmm. We're going for probably a cube shape box. Something that looks, you know, really neat. I guess kind of like a building block in a way. We'll see what we're able to do with the packaging. Hopefully there won't be many limitations, but we are envisioning a cube, with all the cards, the instructions, and a 60-second timer.
Now, you mentioned earlier playtesting. Who did the playtesting? How does that work? And, for people, I'm just thinking for people who may be thinking of designing their own game and doing, something like some type of crowdsourcing to fund it. Mm-hmm. First place playtesting, how important do you think that is as a game designer?
Well, it's extremely important. You know, you can play the game all day long yourself, mm-hmm. Or you and your team, but there's nothing like getting real world feedback. Mm-hmm. So it is essential. You must play test. Even if you have, family and friends, just tell them to, forget that it's you and just play the game. Mm-hmm. Maybe lie to them and tell them that you got it from somewhere else and you want them to try it out. But it is extremely important. And we were lucky with Scrapyard Warriors to have kids from the summer camp program that we were able to use. So we had some information already going into this, then we were able to get some of the moms and dads and participants with the program to play. So this is geared towards families, mm-hmm. and of course with children in mind. So, that worked out great. It's important when you're doing the playtesting to get as much data as you can. Not just have them play it and then say, okay, I liked it or I didn't like it, but you want to get specifics. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the cards, the colors?
The look.
Right.
And not only that, like with playtesting, you get a really different perspective from whomever's playing it. So whether it's like, say, the group of kids or a mom and a dad, or, you're going to get a different perspective. And particularly with the kids, because you'll find that they see things differently than an adult would, or even say a teenager, a middle teenager or an older teenager.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. Like Joseph said, to get like all the data that you can and not be offended if someone says, well, I don't think this is quite working this way or that way, but to take that as an opportunity to improve your project and to take into consideration other points of view.
Yes. When it came to the place testing, what age group was this the most well received in? What kids do you think will enjoy this game the most?
Oh, wow. Well, this one, we were surprised in a way, but then again, because, of what we've experienced with the camp, I guess we weren't as surprised, but, it worked well across all of the groups. And I think that's because, from ages 5 up, mm-hmm. they love, just to build. What they love most about Scrapyard Warriors, particular, is the lack of a lot of hardcore rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that they can there's these colorful cards, there's all these pieces, and it's completely up to them what they want to build. I would say there is some reading. There's some information on some of the cards. We give tips on the cards of, about the item on that card. So, it is helpful if they can read. All of the groups loved, the idea of being able to build these really cool contraptions.
Let's talk about the perks you have for, the Kickstarter campaign. I want to, first, what is your favorite perk? Like, what's the one that you, because you have a whole bunch listed here.
Yeah, I think the favorite is actually going to be the Kickstarter exclusive scrap pack, and we don't give details on any of them here, but just because it's going to have some really wacky stuff included in there, items. You know, along the lines of some of the, you know, like the old Garbage Pail Kid cards, mm-hmm. things like that, some of that kind of wacky humor. So we're going to throw some of that in there, with that. So that's probably my favorite.
And which pledge is that? How much is that?
That's at the, that's unlocked at the, I'm sorry. Looking at the stretch goals here. As far as the sides here, I would say, with the magnet sets, the two copies of the magnet sets, I think on the perk side, I think we have that under the $32 pledge level. The magnets are really cool because, you know, I've always been a fan of having, something on the refrigerator, there. And it's great with kids when it's right at their eye level.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just, you know, every day, you know, coming from school or whatever, and just, there's a kind of a different machine, and something to maybe make you laugh.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's pretty cool. And when Joseph said about the eye level, it's just like having, you know, going into the grocery store and seeing the cereal or yes. some cereal at eye level.
Yes. I wanted, because in some of these perks, you're giving away like two copies of the games. What about hacking the game? Because there's a lot, like, this game is about hacking, number one. So, like, as you said, one of the surprising things that you found playtesting with people putting the cards face up instead of face down, what other kind of neat hacks have you thought about? Like, playing with multiple decks or expanding the rules a little bit and encouraging taking the creativity that the game already tries to encourage and allowing people to build on that?
Yeah. Great question. Definitely encourage that. As a matter of fact, we would like to have a section on our site for people to submit different ways that they found, you know, that were cool to play the game or you know, hacks, if you will. One really neat one that a player suggested was to have different themes or you could even say missions,
mm-hmm.
Where something has occurred and a certain machine has to be built in order to save the day or to accomplish a certain task. We thought that was pretty cool. So you start off with that. And then you could throw in all kinds of things. You could say, okay, well, we're going to do a timer for this, or we won't do the timer. Maybe you have a certain number of cards to do that. Mm-hmm. We just love the fact that it's open and seeing you know, people come up with different ideas. That's just one of the coolest things about it, just being able to create something and let people run with it.
That is awesome. That's really awesome. Now I want to talk what will happen if the Kickstarter campaign doesn't get funded, because this is a cool game.
Thank you.
I think it is a really cool game. I really like the concept behind it. So what are you going to do if it doesn't get funded?
Well, there are a few different options out there. There's, of course, a print and play option. These are square cards that are 2.5 inches by 2.5 inches in size. So it wouldn't be too bad for, you know, wouldn't take too long to cut them out. So that's one option. Another is to offer it on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of print on demand things out there. You know, but we are definitely concerned about quality. We want to make sure that if we do go that route, that the cards do maintain a certain level of quality. And, you know, of course, it would be accessible directly from blacktstudios.com.
Mm-hmm. That brings me to another question that I wanted to bring up. Having just finished my own Indiegogo campaign, and they allow flexible funding. That's why I went that way. I'm trying to, unless my brain is just not comprehending it right now, I'm trying to find, it's not in the FAQ. $7,000is the funding goal.
Right.
And I don't see where the money is going to at the moment. So why $7,000? When, like, because there are people who know, well, you could do it print on demand. You could do it this way, a lot of cheaper ways. And I know this from, like, that's questions people ask. Why is it this much money when you have these options, right? So why $7,000 when you have those options?
Yeah. Well, $7,000, what that gets you is, you know, a nice box. I mean, basically something that could be sold, at a retail store. Unfortunately with, you know, the state of our manufacturing, here, in the United States, we have to go with places like, China, India,
Vietnam.
Yeah, there are a few others out there.
There are only like a few companies or manufacturers for card games or games, not card games, but games in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have to go, you know, overseas into the East to get our things manufactured.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and not only that, like, for instance, you also, you know, you want, as Joseph said, you want things to be store ready and to be as, and I don't know if thoughtful is the right word or anything like that, but you want people to have a quality game and a quality product. Like, if you went to the store, say, maybe Macy's or Nordstrom, and you bought, like, a pair of shoes or a bag or something, you want that to be put together well. And we really, you know, take a lot of thought in putting stuff together and want people to know that we care about the people who back us.
Yes. When, if you reach your goal, we'll talk in those terms, aside from being able to purchase the game via your studio's website directly, where else are you hoping to make the game available for people to purchase? Like, are you going to set up an Amazon storefront? As an example?
Well, we're looking at a few different, options there. One of them, of course, will be, directly from our site.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that, and I think a lot of other, crowdfunded games have, encountered is, distribution. And, some of these stores out there, only deal with, games that are, ordered from a distributor, from a, catalog. The distributor, you know, has the games out there and tells them what, you know, what the latest, greatest stuff is. And they order, and then they sell it.
Mm-hmm.
There are stores that are more of a traditional, more traditional mom and pop, shops where you can go in and ask them to carry a few copies. So, we'll ask our backers, actually. We'll go straight to them and ask them, you know, if they know of ones in their area. Because there's nothing like, you know, having, you know, foot soldiers out there.
Yes.
To tell you, you know, what's really going on. So, we'll definitely reach out to them. And if there are some, that meet that requirement, we'll definitely offer it, those stores as well.
Is there anything else you would like to say about the game, about the studio, about anything in general before we wrap things up?
We are, as I said, just coming up with, you know, creative stuff when we can, and just finding neat ways to get it out there. I mean, there's so many ideas out there, really cool things that you know, people would really thoroughly enjoy. You know, that's why it's great that, you know, there's sites like Indiegogo and Kickstarter, to be able to empower people to get it out there. It just requires, doing it, getting, sitting down, doing it. Even if it's a small scale, even if you just hand out 10 of whatever it may be, or, 100, 1,000, or maybe, if you're lucky, maybe it goes to 1,000,000, items or whatever you're making. But, it's just great to be able to do it. In our case, just to start a company, as an outlet for these type of things. The game is, another extension of that. It's something that's extremely creative, extremely open, and, a way to just get people to think a little outside the box.
Yeah. And, I wanted to say something, with regard to, artists like yourself, artists mm-hmm. like us, and creators, and even those people who don't like, create like we do. But when it comes to like an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter, for people really to support each other, and for the creatives to support each other yes. as well. And to, Joseph, was talking about like kicking it forward and everything like that. And for others who have had successful projects, because we had a successful project just this year on Kickstarter with our game Shadow Days. So to be able to support other artists and also to tell your backers that have funded your project not to be afraid to mm-hmm. tell your backers, hey, there's this other project over here. We're already funded. So I'm going to send out an update or a notice to my backers to let them know, not to have that mindset of, well, I'm afraid that someone is going to take something from me, because mm-hmm. that's not the case. There are billions of people in this world, and that's how we have to look at it.
Yes.
And for instance, some people will cancel on a project for whatever reason, but what they're not thinking is that if the project doesn't get funded, you're not going to get charged.
Yes.
I don't mean to sound crass or anything, but I can't understand why someone would even think that way, but they do, and it's not meant to be insulting or anything. So, for the people who are thinking about backing projects, and also for the ones who have had successful projects, to not be afraid to say, this game company over here is doing this. I'm going to send this out, because we've certainly done it for lots of projects. Joseph is on Kickstarter, all the time, looking at some of the cute, cool things, and he backs them. Or if someone contacts us and asks us for information about, how did you do this or how did you do that, we respond immediately. And I think that, and not everyone, because Jules, you responded to us, and you were one of the few people who did, but some people simply don't respond. And even if you send them several email messages or whatever, or call them, they don't respond. And I don't understand, especially the ones who are respected and who will, everybody's following them and looking at all of their stuff and their opinions and everything, that they don't even respond. Like for instance, it's not important to them, or whatever it may be. I don't know.
Yeah, we're definitely a community. I think we forget that, because we're all, the fact that we're on using, crowd, funding, or sourcing, mm-hmm. We are in this together, especially as a community of artists. And, it's just very important. We take it very seriously, supporting, other, artists. And
entrepreneurs.
And entrepreneurs, yeah. Yeah. So it's important to stick together, help each other out, because, everybody wins, in the end. I think kicking it forward was, it's kickingitforward.org, I believe, is a movement started by, a game developer who had a project on Kickstarter. And, it's a great idea. It was just a pledge that you'll give, a certain percentage back to the community, to other projects. And I think it's a great way to get the ball rolling for artists to help each other out.
It is a fabulous way. I actually, when I scroll down to refresh when I was getting ready for the interview, and I don't recall seeing it the first time I looked at the page, the Kicking It Forward thing. So is that something new, or did I just not notice it the first time?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's been there from the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, and we also did that with Shadow Days. Actually, the movement actually began probably a little past midway through our campaign for Shadow Days. So when we found out about it, we immediately added it to our Shadow Days page and started off with it on our Scrapyard Warriors page because it's something that's really, really good to do. In fact, there's a link there. If you click it, it takes you to the Kicking It Forward site, and there's a little more information about it. But, you know, it's something that people just have to remember. I mean, as artists, we have to support each other, and, you know, everyone wins, you know, including the people who go out and buy whatever the finished product is.
Yes.
You know, so it's great.
Your Twitter, so people can follow you on Twitter. What is that?
Black Tea Studios.
And the website, I'm assuming because the Kickstarter page is a little bit convoluted to give out, so you probably have a link to the Kickstarter on your website, yes?
Yes, we do, yes. BlackTeaStudios.com, yeah. And we're also Facebook, of course, at Facebook.com/BlackTeaStudios.
And do you have a Google Plus or no?
No, not for Black Tea. I do not have that, no.
I think you should. That's just my two cents on social media.
We'll have to add that.
You do have to. It's one more thing to maintain, though. That's the only.
Yes.
We talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
What do you, I want to ask, because we did talk about community, actually, and now we're giving out the social networks, and I'll put the links on my website once it goes live. This is available for download on Monday. But what do you, on the community notes, is there anything you would like to say to your community that you've amassed on the, like, just something that you've learned through the process of social media and doing these things that, number one, is both surprising, and number two, something that you're just really thankful for when it comes to this community of creators and tweets and Facebookers and all that other stuff?
I guess I'll start with what I'm thankful for. For people like you, people who are, you know, who are out there, who are responsive, who take their art, their craft seriously, and you know, it's really awesome to be able to even be able to connect with people, in literally seconds, on sites like Twitter, and Facebook. I'd say for people who, take the time out to, you know, we have a lot of writers, great writers out there who have a passion for writing, who, will sit down, check out your project, and write a great review on it. Great in the sense of it's well written.
Mm-hmm.
Their honest opinion. I'm talking, you know, a page or two, really well thought out. They've thoroughly gone through the game. And, one of those is, actually Father Geek. I think it's fathergeek.com is the website. Here's someone who, has a passion for games and, so much so that he's interested in, reviewing them. Really Sneaky Sis, is another one out there. We have reviews right on our page, Kickstarter page, links to those. But, you know, these are people who they aren't charging you. I mean, they just have a love for the gaming community and they want to make sure that, you know, people are, empowered and are made aware of games out there that, you know, before they go out and purchase them. Yeah. So I'm really thankful for that. And, you know, the other part of your question, with social media, it one thing to remember, with that is that, it is tough, going out there. You have to, be on it, pretty much 24/7. But there's a balance too, because you don't, want to alienate, you know, potential backers. And at the same time, you can't be so quiet and so inactive that, that no one knows you're there.
Yeah, that you're like whispering.
Yeah. The equivalent of whispering in a, you know, in a convention.
Yeah.
At a convention. I mean, you have to make some, you know, make some noise, but not be obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
For my, you know, just personally, I'm not really a big social media, guy. I'm not doing there. And Valencia is the same way. You know, we're not the type to post on there when we're going, and drinking, a cup of, tea or going on vacation. And, you know, we're leaving the house now. And then we, another tweet, okay, we're in the car. Another tweet, we are 5 miles away. And then another tweet, the key to the door is under the mat.
well, checking into Foursquare so people can rob your house.
we just can't, you know, and it's not for everyone. We can't keep up with our tweets and things like that much. But, we do, strike a balance and get out the word as much as we can. And, so that's just what the tip I would give, to anyone out there who's looking at using social media. It's a great tool. No doubt about that. But, just learn how to balance it, when you're trying to reach potential, or prospective, backers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On really like the flip side of that, just like when you're tweeting something, tweet something that's going to be meaningful and informative and great for everybody, like some bit of information that will enrich, you know, whether it's saying something, some great quote about perseverance, or some great information that you found out about, how to manage your social media pages better or whatever, try to do that as well.
And have fun. I have my Twitter feed is a mishmash of everything insane and insightful under the sun. And sometimes I wonder, why do you people follow me? Why don't you just leave? Because I see some pretty insane things sometimes, but.
Well, it was crazy because when we connected, I said, oh my God, someone is up at the same time that I am.
Yes. I think I was working, I was working on a site update or some update and I was working and saw your tweet. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not the only one who's tweeting at insane hours while I'm working on my project at insane hours.
Yes.
Making sure everything's done. Yes, it's 2 a.m. I'm still awake and working because I'm a boss. For you, Valencia, what is the thing that you're most thankful for when it comes to social media?
Well, gosh, I'm thankful for the people that I'm really able to connect with. And I Joseph knows this. I'm a person who's really about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to, and we both are really, because, you know, when it comes to something like either, you know, doing this game or music or whatever it is, you know, we want to form a relationship with those people with whom we're working to say, you know what, here, this, you know, we're genuine and we're giving you our best or whatever. So I like that I'm able to meet, a variety of people from, from different cultures and everything and who have different backgrounds and learn something, as well as connecting, you know, with regard to our business and everything.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I think that's a great note to end things on. Thank you very much for joining me this evening. Once again, for the listeners, follow them on Twitter at Black Tea Studios. Visit their website, blacktstudios.com. Find them on Facebook, facebook.com/blacktstudios. Check out their Kickstarter campaign for Scrapyard Warriors ending November 3rd. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome. Thank you very much for being with me here this evening.
Okay. Thank you, Jules.